Hi there, my name is Prakash Chandran, and this is a Pfizer podcast series. The increasing availability of new medications with the potential to be used for medical management of obesity is exciting, but guidelines focusing on medical management do not yet incorporate the newest developments. Can you share some of the key moments in guideline release since 2000?
So 2013, seminal year in obesity, because virtually all the major health organizations declared or designated that obesity was a disease. And in and around that time, there were a raft of obesity treatment guidelines. The first guideline actually came out in about 2000. It was the first National Institutes of Health guide. I happen to be the editor of the Guide to Obesity Treatment, which was a pared down version for clinicians that came out of that. And then it wasn't until 13 years later that a new version came out, and the NIH decided they were not in the guideline business. So they asked the Heart Association, the American College of Cardiology, and the Obesity Society to develop that. There are many, many, many guidelines. I promise I won't go through all these. But despite that, 2% of the population gets care as recommended by these guidelines. Did you know that? Now we're probably up to 21 guidelines, and yet only 2% of the population gets either bariatric surgery or medical treatment of obesity as recommended by all of these guidelines. When you talk to people at Novo Nordisk, they tell you that coverage for their compound and coverage for obesity treatments in general is about 40%. So about 40% of people have coverage, but only 2% get the medicine. So it's dramatic underutilization. So if you look at people with obesity, so 150 million some odd people, 40% of them have coverage for a drug therapy. But of that 150 million, only 2% get medication prescribed. And then to go even further, the average length of prescription that people take it is about 90 days. Now that we have things that are so effective, right, like semaglutide, you know, it basically doubled the market for branded anti-obesity medications in 1 year. I think between Saxenda and Wegovy, they sold $800 million product. I mean, that's kind of off the charts compared to what we're used to. Because there's enormous demand for products that work, that are safe, and that are covered by insurance. The guidelines can say what they want to say, but if it's not covered by insurance, people are going to be like, well, who's going to pay $1,400 a month for this medicine?
You mentioned 2013 being a sentinel year. Can you tell us more about the AHA-ACC guidelines?
These are what I would call the most important ones because they're from the biggest organizations, but they didn't cover medication because none of the new medicines were approved at that point in time for chronic use. So we didn't have Contrade, we didn't have Qsymia when these guidelines finished.
In 2015, you were involved in a guideline addressing the medical treatment of obesity. Can you share a little bit more about that?
So what Caroline Apovian and I and a number of other people did with the Endocrine Society is we put together a set of guidelines for medical treatment of obesity. And again, this included the first medication that were approved in 2012. I see this as a useful addition and talks about drug-induced weight gain, things like that, topics that had never been covered in a guideline setting. And, you know, I think it put those topics on the map once and for all because we're able to do a meta-analysis and show that these phenomena were really there. Like a lot of physicians up to that point did not believe that medicine caused weight gain, and we showed that there was no question that was there.
Can you comment on the 2022 guideline that addressed obesity in patients with diabetes?
So the latest guideline from the American Diabetes Association, very exciting, obesity and weight management for the prevention and treatment of type 2 diabetes. Okay, so the American Diabetes Association now agrees that weight is really important in managing type 2 diabetes,
that it can prevent type 2 diabetes,
and that you can actually induce remission of type 2 diabetes if you can get enough weight loss. You know, they're saying now that 15% weight loss induces remission in the majority of people with type 2 diabetes. If you do the numbers, it should be 90, 95% of people who lose that kind of weight will their diabetes will be gone. That's good news.
Obesity medicine has come a long way, and current investigational medications hold promise for the future. While we look forward to updated guidelines addressing the medical treatment of obesity, let's learn a little bit more about clinical practice from Dr. Aroney. In the next episode, you'll hear some strategies clinicians might recommend to balance the loss of fat and lean body mass. Thank you so much for listening. This has been the Pfizer Podcast Series. My name is Prakash Chandran, and we'll talk next time.